Okay, the next case is number 17-1466, Saunders against the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Ms. Bostwick.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, the Secretary agrees with Ms. Saunders on the central legal question that decides this case, namely that disability in Section 1110 refers to functional impairment and not to a specific diagnosed condition, and that pain in the absence of a presently diagnosed condition can cause functional impairment. You can see this most clearly, I think, at page 21 of the Secretary's brief, where he states, "We generally agree that the term disability refers to a condition that impairs normal functioning and reduces earning capacity, and we recognize that pain can cause such impairment in certain situations."
So what's the difference between the two of you now?
So the difference between the two of us, I don't think there's a relevant difference between the two of us. The legal principle that the board and the Veterans Court used to resolve this case is one that we agree on, and this court should reverse or at a minimum remand for application of the correct legal rule. The Secretary has two arguments for why this court should not reach that legal question, and I'm happy to address both of them. I think that it's particularly important for the court to address this legal question because it's one that's been sitting unresolved for about nearly 20 years since the Sanchez-Benitez case, and the board and the Veterans Court through that time have been consistently applying this legal rule that the Secretary himself does not defend. So, of course, the Secretary has two arguments. He first argues that the Veterans Court resolved this case on something other than this flawed legal rule. There's no support for that argument in the record. You can look at the Veterans Court's decision. At Appendix 2, the Veterans Court recites that the board found that pain alone is not a disability for the purpose of VA disability compensation, that the board applied the legal rule from Sanchez-Benitez correctly, and then the rest of the Veterans Court's opinion is a discussion of the precedential status of Sanchez-Benitez and a rejection of Ms. Saunders' argument about the flaws in the Sanchez-Benitez principle. You can see from the cases that the Veterans Court cited that that's what it's doing. It relied on the Fountain case. I think the Kennedy case is particularly instructive. In Kennedy, the Veterans Court noted that there was functional loss due to the veteran's knee pain, but no current diagnosis, and so denied service connection on that basis. There was another condition at issue in that case, IBS, and with respect to that condition, the Veterans Court remanded for a consideration of the effects of that condition on the veteran's employment. The only difference was that that condition had a name, and the knee condition did not. So we think it's absolutely clear that the Veterans Court resolved this case solely on this flawed legal principle that the parties both agree is wrong. It's equally clear that the board resolved it on that basis. The board at Appendix 22, again, recites the legal principle from Sanchez-Benitez. Pain alone without a diagnosed or identifiable underlying malady or condition does not in and of itself constitute a disability for which service connection may be granted, and that's simply wrong.
But assuming that pain is a disability, as the government appears to agree can be the case, you both also agree that that has to be traceable to some injury or disease that manifested itself during service. And on the one hand, you seem to say that that issue has been resolved in your favor. The government seems to say that that issue has been resolved against you. My view of the record is that issue hasn't been addressed yet.
So we think it has been addressed, but we certainly don't believe that it has been addressed in the Secretary's favor. We have here the in-service diagnosis of patellofemoral syndrome, which is what meets the second prong, the incurrence or aggravation prong. We have the board at Appendix 22 reciting that finding by the examiner and not rejecting it. And at Appendix 19, the board recognizes that if it's going to reject a finding favorable to the veteran, it has to provide a reason for doing so, and it doesn't do that in the opinion. So we view that as the board accepting the finding as to in-service diagnosis. With respect to nexus, we have the medical examiner stating that it is at least as likely as not that her current disabling pain is connected to that in-service diagnosis. And again, the board does not reject that finding. There's no discussion of that in the board's opinion. So we do believe it's clear that those two pieces are met. Likewise, the functional impairment that the examiner found, the board did not disrupt that. And then on appeal,
but did the board really even need to address those questions when it was specifically finding that pain is not a disability?
It may not have, and if this court believes that there's insufficient findings in the record to outright reverse, then the proper remedy would be a remand, a clarification of what the correct legal rule is, and then a remand for the Veterans Court to remand to the board to apply that test. But we do think it is important for this court to correct the legal error, to make clear that disability under Section 1110 means functional impairment. Functional impairment is defined in a way we agree with in the Secretary's regulation at 4.10, and that a diagnosis is not required.
Of a current disability?
A current diagnosis, correct.
I mean of a current underlying pathology.
Correct. You don't need a current diagnosis of a disease or injury. You need the in-service disease or injury, and then you need evidence of a current disability that is linked to that in-service diagnosis. The court has no further questions. I'll reserve my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Good. Good idea. Mr. Parada.
Good morning. May it please the court.
So is the government pretty much confessing error here?
No, Your Honor. In fact, I wanted to address that point right off the bat because opposing counsel is not correct. We have not conceded that the Veterans Court's principle from Sanchez-Benitez that pain alone is not a disability is incorrect. What we conceded in our brief was the simple point that it is conceivable that there could be a veteran who has subjective pain and who has evidence that has been documented that the subjective pain actually is impairing the veteran so that there is an impairment. And if that's the case, and that is substantiated by the medical records as found by the board, that could establish a disability.
Well, I'm not understanding what the difference is between that position and the veteran's position in this case. That seems to be saying that if pain is impairing function, it can be a disability.
Yes, Your Honor. As Ms. Saunders acknowledges in her own brief at footnote 3, if a veteran experiences pain without any functional impairment, there would be no disability. Well, that essentially is this case because the board never made any factual findings that the subjective pain reported by Ms. Saunders actually was impairing her in any way.
But it hasn't addressed the question.
Well, on the contrary, Your Honor, the fact finding by the board was specific that in the finding the fact section that the knee disability, quote, did not have its clinical onset in service and is not otherwise related to active duty.
Well, that's a different question.
Well, and the board... Excuse me, Your Honor.
I mean, you say on page 8 of your brief that there's a finding here that her pain does not limit the functionality of the knee. That is on the fifth line of page 8 of your brief. And then you cite appendix 8 and 22 to 23. I looked at those references. I do not see any such finding. Could you show me where it is?
Your Honor, the fact finding by the board on those pages that we were referring to, specifically on pages 21 to 22 onto 23, is that there was no pathology to warrant a diagnosis, that the x-ray studies revealed normal findings except for the subjective pain, and that there's no other evidence of record establishing a current diagnosis of knee disability.
But that's not the same thing. The question we're talking about, not whether there's a current pathology which is causing this. The question is the pain impairing functionality? And I don't see that the board made any finding about that.
Your Honor, the board did also note that that Ms. Saunders was able to treat her symptoms with over-the-counter medication.
So, I mean, where on these pages, 22 and 23, does the board say that the pain doesn't impair functionality?
Your Honor, it's correct. Nowhere on those pages does the board use that specific language. But if you look at all of the factual findings that the board made, those are based on the medical records in which there was no objective evidence noted of any impairment. And
it's not our job to review the facts. They've got to make factual findings. They haven't made one.
Well, Your Honor, they have. By pointing to those facts, none of which support any impairment, There is no finding by the board that she actually had any impairment. And that is the finding that...
There's no finding one way or the other. That's why it would seem that we have to remand to them to make the proper findings.
I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? The board said that that pain can't be a disability, so they didn't have to make any findings with respect to scope of impairment from pain.
Yes, it's correct, Your Honor. Under the board's finding, as supported by the Veterans Court, Sanchez-Benitez decision, the longstanding, roughly 20 years of precedent from the Veterans Court interpreting Section 1110 is that subjective pain alone is not tied to some current disability.
Right, but you now concede that pain can be functionally disabling.
That
20-year authority is probably wrong, right?
No, Your Honor. We concede that there could be a case where subjective pain that is objectively... the pain that is objectively documented through findings, even if there isn't a label attached to it as a diagnosis, if there's objective findings in the medical records that substantiate that the pain actually exists and is having an impairment, that could be a disability.
How does that differ from what Judge O'Malley just asked you about? I'm not understanding that.
Your Honor, it differs from the fact that in this case, you do not have any objective findings of any disability.
We're talking about the legal principle. Do you agree that the legal principle on which the board and the Veterans Court rested is wrong?
No, Your Honor, we do not.
You do not?
No, Your Honor, because what
you
the
just
board...
just told me you did.
The brief
you just told
so.
Me you did.
Yes.
If you say there are factual circumstances in which pain could be a disability, then that means the legal principle that says it never can be is wrong, right?
Your Honor, what the Sanchez-Benitez principle says is that pain alone is not a disability. Pain alone meaning there is no objective finding documenting the actual effect on the body.
That's not what Benitez-Chance says. You could have all kinds of documented findings, and they would still say under that legal theory that it's not a disability. Of course you have to have evidence of the pain.
Yes, Your Honor, but it's important to understand the context of the disability prong of the compensation test under Section 1110, which is what we've been talking about, the first prong, which requires not just evidence of an impairment, but as this court held in the Davis case cited in our brief, looking to common dictionary definitions for disability, an inability to pursue an occupation due to physical or mental impairment. So there has to be not just an impairment of your earnings capacity, but it has to be tied to some current condition. It isn't simply an impairment of earnings divorced from any actual diagnosis. And it's important to understand why that is and the fact that that is what Section 1110 requires. If the situation were otherwise, there would have been no reason for Congress to enact the accompanying Section 1117, which provides for disability compensation for a small subset of veterans, those who served in the Persian Gulf arena during the Persian Gulf War. And in enacting Section
1117 is dealing with a different question, which is the proof of causation. If a disability is caused by an injury or disease manifested into service. And there's a different rule in 117 for that aspect of the question. But that doesn't help you on this question of whether pain alone, when it is traced to a disease and injury or injury that occurred in service, is a disability.
Your Honor, when Congress enacted Section 1117, that statute specifically provides for compensation for veterans in the Persian Gulf who have undiagnosed disabilities or medically unexplained illnesses. And when Congress enacted that statute, it recognized in Sections 102 and 103 of the statute that enacted it that change was required to provide compensation for veterans experiencing, quote, disabilities resulting from illnesses that cannot now be diagnosed or defined because those disabilities were, quote, not considered to be service-connected under current law, which
but
was Section 1110.
That has to do with idiopathic issues. That's totally different circumstances. What we're talking about here is we have a situation in which there was an in-service diagnosis, and then we have an examiner who ties the current pain to that in-service diagnosis, right?
Well, Your Honor, all that the medical examiner did was say that chronologically, yes, her current knee pain postdates her service, and that there was a report of it of the knee pain for a brief period of time in 1991 in service.
Right, but the board never made a causation finding because it said, I don't care how much causation is there is because pain can't be disabling.
Well, actually, Your Honor, the board did make a factual finding specifically stating in the findings of fact that there was no knee disability with a clinical onset in service. And so the board did, as a matter of fact, address that issue. And if I may just return to Section 1117, our position is that if Section 1110 by itself provided for compensation already for veterans who have an undiagnosed illness or an unexplainable condition, such as pain alone, there would have been no need for Congress to enact Section 1117 because they would have already had coverage under 1110.
But pain isn't unexplainable if, in fact, there is an in-service problem.
Well, Your Honor, pain can be diagnosed and examined in a number of different ways. And the medical examiner's report in this case from August 2011 specifically noted that Ms. Saunders' knees were tested repeatedly, not just once or twice, but three times. And that on those repeated testings of her knees, there was no observation of any pain that was displayed. Again, of the x-rays and all of the pathological testing was all negative, but even through moving the knees about multiple times, there was no demonstrated pain. And so subjective pain could be quantified through that type of testing, but it was not, in fact, in this case. And that's all that there is in the record. There's nothing in the record to support Ms. Saunders' position in the board's findings that, in fact, her subjective pain was causing any actual impairment.
But so you're saying that even though the wrong law was applied, she loses anyway. Therefore, don't correct the law.
Well, no, Your Honor. Again, we think that the underlying principle of Sanchez-Benitez is not incorrect. That if a veteran has pain, reports of pain alone without evidence of impairment, and that isn't tied to some current condition as the definition of disability requires, that is not a disability. But what we're saying is, even if the court were to get to that legal issue, the board's fact-finding here contains nothing that would allow Ms. Saunders to establish that she actually had a disability, because there's nothing in the board's fact-finding that indicates that there was any actual impairment caused by the subjective pain. And so under this court's jurisdictional statutes, of course, this court cannot step in and review those fact findings. And to the extent that Ms. Saunders maintains that the board's fact finding is somehow incomplete or cherry-picking facts, the time to raise those arguments, of course, was before the Veterans Court itself, and she did not do so. And so the fact finding by the board is what it is, and that is the record that is now before this court, which contains nothing of any evidence of actual impairment caused by her subjective pain.
In this case, there was a reference in the opinion that the board has applied to this principle that pain can never be disabling at least 83 times. I mean, shouldn't we address the legal principle and correct it if we think it's wrong?
Well, Your Honor, yes, I think the Veterans Court found that 100 or so times the Veterans Court itself has subsequently applied the Sanchez-Benitez principle in other cases, and no doubt there are many other decisions from the board that never got to the Veterans Court where the same principle was applied. But this court, if all that was presented in this case was a pure legal issue of whether a veteran for whom the board had actually made fact-finding that there was impairment caused by the subjective pain, but the board and then the Veterans Court nevertheless had held that because it was subjective pain alone, that could never be a disability, notwithstanding impairment. If that was the case, it would potentially raise a purely legal issue that the court could address. Our point here is that
even though the Veterans Court decided a pure legal issue, we're supposed to look around for facts that might make that irrelevant? That's our job?
No, Your Honor. The Veterans Court addressed the issue that was presented to it by Ms. Saunders in her briefing. And Ms. Saunders' briefing...
And we're hypothesizing that they made a mistake in their decision. The articulated legal principle which they found dispositive was wrong. We're not supposed to reverse them?
Well, Your Honor, as in Sanchez-Benitez itself, which came before this court after the Veterans Court, in that case, as in this case, the Veterans Court and the board below had made underlying factual determinations which this court cannot review. And so regardless of the resolution of the legal issue, the fact-finding remains the same. And that was
You've
why
been
this
unable
court,
to point us to any fact-finding on the issues that you say moots the legal issue.
Well, Your Honor, again, but the point here is that the fact-finding by the board, there's nothing in the fact-finding that would allow the Veterans Court or this court to conclude that there actually is any impairment.
So the only way we can review the legal issue is if they've made the fact-findings that would make the legal issue ultimately dispositive in the case?
Your Honor, I believe if there were fact-finding that could support the decision that Ms. Saunders meets the disability requirement.
But there's no fact-finding that doesn't support the decision. There's just no fact-finding.
Well, but again, Your Honor, all of the fact-finding by the board is that the subjective reports of pain, that was all she was diagnosed with, was subjective pain, and nothing substantiated the actual impact of that.
But that wasn't a fact-finding. That was the legal conclusion.
I understand that, yes, Your Honor, that ties into the legal question of pain alone, if you will. But my point is that all of the medical evidence from the medical examination that was relied upon by the board was to the effect that there was no impact on Ms. Saunders' ability to function beyond her self-reported complaints. I see that I'm over my time, Your Honor, so we ask that the court affirm the Veterans Court's decision.
Thank you. Ms. Bostwick.
Thank you, Your Honors. I want to first talk about what Sanchez-Benitez actually says, because the government is not describing it correctly. I think the court appreciates that, but I think it is helpful to look at the language. And again, you can find this, for example, at Appendix 3 in the Veterans Court decision, Appendix 22 in the board's decision. Both are a direct quote of Sanchez-Benitez. And what they say is that pain alone, without a diagnosed or identifiable underlying disability, does not in and of itself constitute a disability for which service connection may be granted. That doesn't talk about pain without functional impairment. That doesn't talk about anything that the government's describing. The rule that the Veterans Court has been applying in this case, in more than 100 other cases by its own count, is that current pain without a current diagnosed condition can never be a disability, and the government certainly is not defending that legal rule before this court. I'd also like to address...
I don't know whether they are or not, frankly, after listening to them.
It is a little unclear. They've certainly, the quote in their brief at page 21 and at page 26 is consistent with our view of the law, which is that disability means functional impairment and that pain can be functionally impairing even without a current diagnosis. We certainly think that's the correct legal rule for all the reasons discussed in our brief, and so we do agree that the time has come for this court to correct that legal rule. I'd also like to address some of the characterizations that the government made about the record in this case. In particular, to the extent there's any suggestion that Ms. Saunders waived any argument, that's not correct. The board did not make any adverse factual finding to Ms. Saunders, and so therefore, not only did we have no reason to appeal a factual finding to the Veterans Court, but we had no ability to do so. The Veterans Court can review only factual findings that are adverse to the claimant. There was no such finding here. The government has pointed to Appendix 17. That's not something that the government cited in its brief. And it's titled Findings of Fact, but it's effectively a boilerplate statement that it just says that the test for service connection isn't met. To look at what the basis for the board's ruling was, you have to look in the reasons and bases portion of the decision, and that is at Appendix 22 to 23. And the government notes that the board there recites the fact that the medical testing was normal, for specifically range of motion testing and x-rays. And it's doing so in the context of discussing the fact that there was no present diagnosis. What the board never looked at was the evidence of functional impairment that the examiner found. And that's throughout the medical examiner's opinion. At Appendix 519, the medical examiner finds that Ms. Saunders has pain, that she has pain with running, squatting, bending, and climbing. At Appendix 520, the examiner specifically recites functional limitations on her ability to stand and walk, namely that her knee pain prevents her from standing for more than a few minutes at a time, and it prevents her from walking more than a quarter of a mile at a time. The examiner also at Appendix 522 notes that it has significant effects on her usual occupation in the form of increased absenteeism, as well as adverse effects on her daily activities by preventing her from engaging in sports and exercise. That is all evidence of functional impairment. The board simply ignored that evidence. Again, the board, if it wanted to reject that evidence and find that that was not functional impairment and not a disability, it had to provide a reason for doing so. It didn't, and it didn't because it was applying this pure legal rule that pain in the absence of a diagnosis is not a disability. It never recognized that functional impairment is the correct test. Also, just as to the nexus finding, the same thing. The examiner found that the nexus requirement was met, found that it was at least as likely as not that Ms. Saunders' current disabling pain was linked to her cervical patellofemoral diagnosis, and the board did not disturb that finding. The court has no further questions. We'd ask them to reverse or minimum remand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bosworth. Mr. Parada, thank you.